A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. And they rose up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. This passage follows Jesus' proclamation of the Isaiah text about possessing the Spirit of the Lord, bringing glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, and then declaring that today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. We are told that the synagogue crowd had mixed reactions: admiration, wondering, doubt, criticism. Jesus knew that some were criticizing him for having worked no miracle in their midst, but working all sorts of wonders apart from this community. And they were angry that he was sharing his gifts with so-called outsiders. Jesus defends his ministry by telling two Old Testament stories illustrating God's reach to outsiders. To be indicted by their own scripture is too much for them. In their anger, they expel Jesus from the synagogue and seek to kill him. Jesus tells the truth. In fact, we know that he declares himself to be truth. And truth is frequently not welcomed. Truth is difficult to come by. Mark Twain says, "A lie can travel around the world before the truth even puts on her shoes." No, we do not often see the truth clearly, nor want it. And sometimes that is because truth is difficult to decipher. But more often than not, it is because we are more comfortable not seeing truth. For truth can sting or hurt terribly. To face the truth, especially to look at the unpleasant truths about ourselves, is to inflict pain almost too great for us to bear. Like the people in the synagogue in Nazareth, each of us has some part of us we don't care to face. In fact, we often hide that truth even from ourselves, preferring not to bring it into consciousness. Now, I'm not speaking of those truths we know about ourselves that we laughingly admit to. I can admit that I am a great talker who always has something to say, and usually more than people want to hear. Or that I get very impatient with things like sewing machines and computers don't work the way they should. Or that I probably drink too much coffee. However, each of us has one or two truths about ourselves that we barely admit to. We stuff it down because it is just too painful to acknowledge. We even try to hide it from God. It involves our self-image and the little world we have created for ourselves. In this sense, then, each of us is held in a self-imposed bondage. never fully living as richly as we could. The pain that truth brings, however, is never as great in the long run as the pain of living without facing that truth. The pain of truth is temporary, like enduring the setting of a broken bone so healing can take place, or facing a surgery to remove a sick part of ourselves, knowing healing and fullness of life will follow. That pain eventually leaves, and it makes room for the friends that truth always brings with her: humility, trust, forgiveness, and above all, wisdom and freedom. Last Monday, Anita shared an insight with us in her preaching that no matter what we face, we do not face such things alone. God is ever present to us, yearning over us with tenderness. Yes, with gentleness, God says about that unwanted truth in ourselves, "Come now, let us set things right. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. And though they be crimson, crimson red, they may become white as wool. Come, let us set things right."